So Luke 23, a few thoughts here. Just thinking about the prayers of our Lord Jesus on the cross and the cries of our Savior, and want to leave just a few simple thoughts that I had today from Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Many of us are aware of seven cries that are recorded for us by our Lord Jesus on the cross. And to think that as he, in his opening, the opening remarks of his sufferings on the crucifixion, in the crucifixion, is not a cry for himself, but a cry for others. That in and of itself is a lesson to every believer, that we are not to have our whole life revolve around the things of our own affairs. Our Lord Jesus exemplifies in his opening prayer that his concern goes to others, even while he is enduring the most excruciating suffering that anyone could experience. And I can leave it there. I can leave it right there. If that's all you go home with, that we're not to have this me-focused attitude in the Christian life. That it's not just about me and my comfortable experience. And we can get that into our hearts and maintain it there. We will have learned a very important lesson. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And so this is to be exhibited by us all. Like, what am I doing here for others? Yes, we have personal responsibilities. We have our own duties and affairs to deal with, and we're not to be negligent of those things, and some of them are of high priority. But to live exclusively and solely with a focus upon our own affairs is to miss the point. We are to be lights. We are to so live that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We're to have an impact. Our Lord Jesus certainly exemplified that. So, a few simple thoughts here. First, Christ addresses the source of all power. He addresses the source of all power. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them." Father, forgive them. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things." Of whom are all things. The Lord Jesus lifts his eyes, not to his disciples, because most of them weren't there, or to anyone around. He doesn't make appeal to anyone around him except to his Father. His eyes go heavenward. Beloved, that is a lesson for us. Who do we look to in times of trouble? Where are we wanting help to come from when we're going through difficulty? Do we first look to the presence or the absence of the aid of others? Or is our first call heavenward? John Gill says of 1 Corinthians 8:6, "All created beings and things, angels are of him, are created by him, serve and worship him. Devils are of him and under him and at his control, though they have rebelled against him. All mankind are of him and are his offspring. The whole universe, the heavens, the earth and seas, and all that in them are of him. All things in nature, providence, grace and glory come of him. He is the author of every mercy, temporal and spiritual." Father, in that one word, there is the recognition of every man's need. That one word, Father. We gather here to pray tonight. What are we looking to? We pray for these missionaries, give consideration to the various needs that we have. What are we looking to? Where's our hope? As we consider whatever the burden might be, look at the state of the nation and all the rest of it, but that's always a mess, isn't it? Pretty much always. But where do we look? Father. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. Who is above all. This is why we come to pray. Or let me ask it this way. Is this why you're here? Are you here tonight because you believe, you actually believe that our need is only met by God? God alone can give us the things that we need. Christ then exemplifies it. Father, he addresses the source of all power. Secondly, Christ asks for the greatest of all miracles. Father, forgive them. Aside from the incarnation, arguably salvation is the greatest of all miracles. I know there's a little bit of, how can that be the greatest? If you just said there's one greater, you follow me. You follow what I'm saying. To see a sinner saved is no small thing. I tried to emphasize that in the Lord's Day evening. That what we're looking for in the hearts and lives of our children, that was the application, of course, on Sunday evening. What we're looking for is a work of God. A work of God. Nothing else will do. So Acts 26:18, it's put this way, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Yeah, from the power of Satan unto God. They can't be turned by their own effort. They can't do this themselves. And you can't do it. You can't turn anyone from the power of Satan. You want to go up head to head against Satan, do you? You want to do it in your own strength and power? And try to prize souls out of his grasp? It's not going to happen. Father, forgive them is a prayer that acknowledges we need nothing short of a miracle. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. This is miraculous. Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and will give you an heart of flesh. This is a divine operation, divine surgery, taking out stony hearts and putting in fleshy hearts. It's the work of God to be born from above. And so, what is the greatest need as we gather tonight? What's the need? What do we need to see? What is the biggest prayer we can offer in this place? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And you start giving specificity to the them. You start thinking about children. You start thinking about neighbors. Start thinking about those that you work with. You start thinking about others that you're concerned for. You start giving specificity to the them, because this wasn't a general prayer. The Lord Jesus isn't just simply looking and without his heart actually looking out towards specific individuals. Forgive them. So, one of the most, the best use of our time on a Wednesday night is spent praying this way. Father, forgive them. Now you can pray, Lord, bless this and bless that and bless the other. But sometimes you have to just, Christ could have said, Father, bless them, but it was more specific than that. In what way did he desire blessing upon those that were on his heart, those that he was, that was in his gaze at that moment? What blessing was he looking for? Divine forgiveness? Reconciliation to their God? Transformation of their lives? So this is what we want to be praying for. Yeah, we have our missionaries, and even as you pray for our missionaries and you have the reports, don't forget to pray, Lord, save souls in those places. Save souls in those places. Let there be conversions. And then this place too. Lord, save people in this place. I gather on the Lord's Day, and my first calling, my first duty is feed the flock. You're hungry. You're hungry every Lord's Day. I know it. Whether you know it or not, I know it. You're hungry. You need to be fed. But I purposefully, as God is my help and strength, I will never stop making specific appeals to people who sit in our midst unconverted. And you ought to be praying, even when we get to that point. You can see it. You know, I start turning around at the end of the evening service. Pretty much, you know, maybe one or two exceptions, but that doesn't happen. But fairly regularly, that's the angle. There's where we end up. And your mind should immediately not just shut off, this doesn't apply to me. Well, maybe not in the sense that you need to be converted, but you should immediately be engaging in prayer. Oh, God, do that miraculous work right now. As the word is being ushered, praying for that sense of God descending upon souls. That awful hush, you know it, you've experienced it. That awful hush when God gets a grasp on the moment of decision. And people know they're being addressed by the God of heaven. Pray. Finally, Christ aches for the worst of all creatures. The worst of all creatures. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Romans 5:10 says we were enemies of God. Colossians 1:21, you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Forgive them. Them who hammer the nails into my hands and feet. Them who mock and scoff and scorn. Them who wag their heads and revile. And Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Does your heart bleed for sinners? Does it? Or do you have to admit tonight there's a real dryness in the soul? A dryness. That you can see people in a lost condition and there's just nothing there. Now we are constantly being harassed by an unbelieving world. And what tends to happen, especially when you're in the era of decay that we are in, is either you're going to hate these people, whoever these are, hate them, or comply. Comply to their every wish, bow the knee to their demands, accept their pronouns or whatever they want. And both are wrong responses. Father, forgive them. He aches for the worst of all creatures. He reflects here the heart of Jeremiah. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. Those who were highly favored, turning their backs on the living God. Jeremiah 9:1, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Father, forgive them. Our hearts are too hard. They are. We accept too readily the spiritual deadness of our day. And that fallow ground of the era in which we live, in which there is this real hardness that exists, will not be broken up until there are believers who break it up with their tears and with their labors. It won't. Father, forgive them. May the Lord give us the heart of Christ for his own glory. Let's sing.